It's the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. It's April 10th, and it's also the 54th anniversary of Paul McCartney officially announcing that the Beatles split up. And just a week later, Sir Paul dropped his first solo album. Clearly already had that side hustle underway and on the fire. The news, of course, would have been a massive deal back in 1970. It still is, really, today, if you ask me. And they all were, get this, still in their 20s when they split up. Isn't that wild? Kia ora, this is Newsable. I'm Imogen, and this is what's worth talking about. Today could spell further cuts for the media industry, with Current Affairs programme Sunday and the entire news outlet News Hub learning their fate. We're asking ASB's chief economist for his predictions ahead of this afternoon's OCR announcement, and we're rounding up some of the biggest stories in pop culture at the moment, including Coachella, which starts this weekend. All that's coming up in a moment here on Newsable.
Newsable takes time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support.
It's been a huge 24 or so hours for the media, with the confirmation Current Affairs show Fair Go, along with One News at Midday and One News Tonight, have all been cancelled. And there is still more news on the news to come. The team behind TVNZ's Sunday are set to find out their future today. And then flicking channels, News Hubbers will also today find out whether or not their entire outlet is going to close down or be saved. Senior staff reporter Emily Brooks has been covering these stories and is with us now. Emily, what do we know about the future of those who have lost the TV shows they were working on?
Very little at this point, but I think we can assume that most of them will no longer have jobs. Think about the reason that TVNZ's doing this. It's not because they genuinely think that Fair Go isn't a worthy show. It's because they need to cut their costs, and their biggest costs are in producing television shows, particularly those who have senior legacy hosts who summon quite high salaries that require a lot of investigative work, long-term stories, a lot of production editing, that kind of thing. So I think we can pretty much expect that most of the people whose jobs are affected in the sense that the products that they work for will no longer exist, those people will no longer have jobs.
There does seem a bit of a ray of sunshine, as such, a handful of jobs that will be turning out some form of Fair Go or consumer-led product.
It's interesting, and it is a little bit vague the way that TVNZ has announced this, but they've said that they've listened to consultation and that they are now looking at a new proposal which would create 4 jobs. So bear in mind that the proposals that are currently coming to, to be confirmed would cut 68 jobs. So it's still, still the vast majority of those roles are very much under the axe. But they're now looking at creating 4 new roles. This, we understand, would be a reporting team within the digital side of TVNZ. So that's TVNZ Plus, the streaming side of TV. And that this team may, it says in the announcement, work on, a Fair Go-like product.
Can we also read anything into the splitting up of the announcements here? We had Fair Go on Tuesday, Sunday's team learning out on Wednesday. Is that a potential sign that Sunday is going to be saved, or am I reading too much into this?
It may be that it just wasn't feasible to take that whole team out of their still current jobs and into a meeting on Tuesday. But
yeah,
look, you never know. It could be that it's because they've got a huge piece of good news for Sunday, although I sort of think that if TVNZ was going to have good news to announce, that they might want to do it up front rather than giving us all the bad news first.
That is a very good point you make. Do we know how shows like Sunday and Fair Go rate in terms of viewership? I'm wondering if we know what the ratings are like, does it help us make sense of these cuts, or not really at all?
They rate extremely well. They're very successful shows for TVNZ. So they both tend to rate well within, easily the top 10, usually the top 5 shows in any given week. Viewers really love them. No, the ratings doesn't in any way point to the rationale behind cutting them, but it's the costs of mounting these shows every week that points to the rationale behind it.
Turning now to News Hub, what are you hearing could happen today? There've been unconfirmed reports that there may be a third party who's come into the mix to save News Hub in some capacity.
That has always been a possibility for News Hub because it is a wholly commercial entity. There's always the possibility that a buyer could come in and either buy the whole thing or, you know, just small elements of it, or that they could go into a co-ownership deal or a co-production deal. You know, there's really a lot more, there's many more opportunities really for News Hub to keep running if you look at it in that sense. We're hearing that there might be a third party involved. We've heard that there's a pretty substantial counter-proposal that's come from senior News Hub reporters. I'm not sure exactly what we should expect tomorrow, but there are definitely more options than just the whole of News Hub is axed. At the same time, it's most likely that, you know, all these shows are pretty much being cancelled. But I would love to be pleasantly surprised.
Please, yeah, so would I, to be honest as well. Tense times for the industry and a nervous wait for everyone involved. Emily Brooks, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
So yesterday we asked you if you thought parents should be fined for their kids not attending school after our conversation with the man in charge of the country's school attendance action plan, Associate Education Minister David Seymour. And the results, I find at least, are very interesting. 40% of you on Instagram said yup, they should be fined, with 60% saying no. We also put the poll up on the Stuff website, and there the results are tighter. 48% said yeah, and 52% said nah to the fines. I don't know why, but I thought it would have been the other way around. Anyway, always interesting. Always love to get your reckons on things like this. So thank you for voting. And if you'd like to play along next time, make sure you're following NZ Stuff on Instagram, or, you know, you can email us as well, newsable@stuff.co.nz. It's another day of breath holding for those with mortgages or other loans. The Reserve Bank will today make an official cash rate announcement, or OCR, and any change can affect interest rates. The OCR is currently sitting at 5.5%, and most economists are predicting it'll remain the same. But could it rise? To share his predictions about what might happen next is Nick Tuffley, ASB's chief economist. Kia ora.
Hello there.
Okay, come on. What do you think's on the cards? Has enough been done already? Or is there another chance of another rise?
We think the Reserve Bank's pretty comfortable it doesn't need to lift the official cash rate any further, but it's still not comfortable that inflation is under control enough for it to start cutting rates. So we'd expect to see the Reserve Bank just sit where it is for a number of months yet.
Does that mean we could say goodbye to further interest rate rises?
It looks like they are off the cards. The only thing that you could see pushing interest rates around a bit is if you see overseas rates lifting quite sharply for whatever reason, and that can have some impact on our fixed term rates. But when it comes to the cash rate, the Reserve Bank looks like it's very comfortable that it doesn't need to go up any further.
When the OCR remains unchanged, does that create certainty that flows through interest rates and just make things a bit more settled?
It does to a degree. What we have had since May last year is the Reserve Bank keeping the OCR where it is. So that provides some degree of stability. But what you do have is financial market participants and pretty much everybody looking ahead and asking the question, okay, where to from here? Is it up? Is it down? And that can still feed through to some volatility in wholesale interest rates. And you can still see some nudging up and down happening with interest rates that affect people in the economy, whether it's deposit rates or lending rates.
We know many people are struggling. Employment for many is increasingly shaky. Inflation's still sticky. People are really feeling it in their wallets, their bank accounts. Could that, all of that, prompt the Reserve Bank to soften its position?
At some point it will, but the key thing for the Reserve Bank is, where is inflation going? And from its point of view, inflation is still very much out of the target band, which is 1-3%. Inflation's just a bit under 5 at the moment. It needs to be sure that inflation will not only fall back within that target band, but also remain there once it starts cutting interest rates. And it's just not convinced yet that the job is done enough that it can comfortably cut interest rates.
Are we seeing an increase in all in the amount of people defaulting on their loans?
Generally, I think what you see through what the banks report and what some of the credit agencies show is that you're getting a ticking up in, you know, bad loan performance. But to put in perspective, it's coming off a very low base and still looks relatively low when you look back over the last 15 years or so. But without a doubt, there are people who are feeling the pressure. Well, having said that, where interest rates are at the moment, you know, we have seen them at these levels in the past, but what we've seen in the last couple of years is quite a rapid lift in a very short space of time, and it will have taken many of us by surprise.
Nick, what everyone with a loan wants to know, when do you think we will see that first drop in the OCR?
Our view is that the earliest you can reasonably expect the Reserve Bank to cut the OCR is the November monetary policy statement. Mm-hmm. By that stage, you'll have had three more reads on where inflation, where the labour market, where wages are, and the Reserve Bank really wants to see evidence in those releases that inflation is definitely on its way down.
The Reserve Bank has an obligation, of course, to drive down inflation, but has it been too aggressive? Has the economy suffered too much?
When you're looking at an economy which is flatlining, you know, dipping in and out of recession, look, there's certainly pressure out there, but you're also looking at an economy where we've had inflation above 7%, and it's still taken a long time to come down. So you could dial back and go, okay, was there more the Reserve Bank could have done earlier to stop inflation reaching this sort of level? Could it have reacted sooner? And with hindsight, you could have reacted a bit sooner. But there was still going to be quite a bit of restraint needed to put in place to get inflation down. And look, it's not just about New Zealand having this in isolation. Many developed economies are dealing with exactly the same types of issues that we are. That inflation surged, has been very stubborn, and it's taken a lot of leaning against it to get inflation down.
ASB's Chief Economist Nick Tuffley, really great to get your thoughts on all of that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Do you want another very broad question? I've got a very broad question today.
Go on then.
What do you know about sports?
Up the Wazz! Go the Black Caps. And don't forget Premier League football.
Oh, you do love a bit of Premier League footy, don't you? What team is it that you support again?
Oh, the current champions, Manchester City.
I think they're pronounced Arsenal. It's pronounced Arsenal.
But you know what's good about football?
Yeah, what?
They don't regulate sock height.
I'm sorry? There's a sport that regulates sock height?
Indeed there is, and it's cycling.
That's very strange. Why on earth do they regulate it?
Well, I know, but if you want to find out, you'll have to listen to the Big Stuff Quiz, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that's a cliffhanger indeed. The Big Stuff Quiz is brought to you by Melbourne Every Bit Different. We've got the latest pop culture and entertainment news you need next. So to make sure you're always up to speed with everything that's worth talking about, chuck Newsable a like and a follow wherever you get your podcasts. The past week has served us a delicious platter, if I do say so, of pop culture goodness to talk about. And so that's exactly what we're going to do right now. Rebel Wilson released a book that was filled with bombshell after bombshell, but then appears to have been pulled from shelves. Gypsy Rose Blanchard's love life is back in the spotlight. Gypsy Rose, by the way, is the woman who was recently released from prison for the involvement in killing her mother after years of being a medical victim of her mother's. And it's Coachella this weekend. As I said, a delicious pop culture platter. Lyric Wywoody Smith, Stuff's culture reporter, is here to unpack it all for us for some Newsable entertainment, proudly brought to you by FX's Shogun, an epic saga of war, passion and power set in feudal Japan and streaming now on Disney+. Lyric, Rebel Wilson's book has it all. We've got accusations against Sacha Baron Cohen. We've got her naming the actor she lost her virginity to in her 30s. But then the book, it seems, was meant to drop last week, but then hasn't hit our shelves here or even across the ditch. What's going on?
It's one of those Prince Harry spear situations where you feel like you've read the whole novel before it's actually come out. It got pulled from shelves. There hasn't been an official reason given. Rebel Wilson has said on Instagram it's because she has written something that Sacha Baron Cohen finds a bit uncouth about himself. Mm. So they're working that out, supposedly. There is no release date yet. We've been told that there will be one soon and an explanation soon. But how soon is soon? I'm not sure. either way, you can probably read the whole thing online from every headline written about it.
Exactly. Or you can just read it soon. Such a great word. Definitely very, very specific. Now let's move on to what's happening with Gypsy Rose Blanchard. She's gone from being loved up with the man she married while still in prison to getting a divorce in the last week. And the last time I checked, I swear I read she's already remarried.
So in the very deep lore of Gypsy Rose Blanchard, so she has split with her husband, Ryan Anderson, who is a teacher who lives in Louisiana. They had been living together with their dog. I do know a lot about her life. And so they split. She said she was going through some sort of, you know, personal growth, personal transformations, which you can imagine if you've been in jail for bloody 8 years and then you get out, you're like, maybe I have changed.
Yeah.
They had met through like a prison pen pal system.
Oh.
But before then, she was engaged to a man called Ken Urker, who had written to her in 2017 after seeing a documentary about her life. And they got engaged, I think, in 2018, but then split up quite quickly after that because it seemed like she wasn't going to be let out of prison soon. She's 32. She went inside when she was, like, 23. So a lot of life changes happen, you know?
And so has she now married this ex...
Fiance. No, they say they're just hanging out in a friendly capacity. They've got some very like Lana Del Rey-esque photos of themselves where they're like in rural America smoking ciggies and like looking a bit dangerous and stuff.
Rock on.
So they're supposedly just hanging.
Well, you know, she's been a busy gal, shall we say, for the last week. And speaking of busy, it's Coachella this weekend, the US Music Festival, something I've never been to, but it's definitely on my bucket list. However, I say that, I've completely missed the boat on this. I don't even know who's playing this yet. Who's playing?
Well, the big headliners are Lana Del Rey, Tyler, the Creator, and Doja Cat. And as well as those big names, they've also got Blur, J Balvin, Lil Uzi Vert, Ice Spice, Sabrina Carpenter, Skepta, a whole bunch of people.
And a Kiwi connection as well, I believe. The Beths yes. are playing. You caught up with them when that was announced. What did they have to say about it?
I chatted to Liz Stokes, and she said she was just really keen to get back to America. I think they have quite a loyal fan base over there, and they actually do book quite a few shows over there and a few tours, so I think they really like gigging there and then also just being at Coachella, because what a bucket list item, eh?
Up the Beths and up you, Lyric Waiwiri Smith, staff culture reporter. Thank you for explaining all of that so well and for joining us for Newsable Entertainment, proudly brought to you by FX's Shogun, an epic saga of war, passion and power set in feudal Japan and streaming now on Disney+. That is Newsable for today. I'm Imogen Wells, and hey, there's plenty of news to come later this morning and into the afternoon too. So keep an eye on our Newsable feed in your favourite podcast app for any breaking news episodes. And of course, you can always stay up to date on stuff.com.
If you liked listening to this pod, help us make more like this. Visit stuff.co.nz/support.
If you don't have time to read the in-depth stories, or you just prefer to listen instead, the Long Read from Stuff is the podcast for you. Each week, we showcase one of our excellent pieces of journalism, telling important or entertaining stories from the world of crime, sport, history, culture, and more. You also get to hear from the journalists themselves about how they uncovered the story and how it came to life. So, for your weekly dose of long-form journalism, beautifully read, subscribe to the Long Read from Stuff wherever you get your podcasts.